Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Real Debaters podcast. Hello, listener. I am Michael Petro, and on the show this week, you got Mark Cowell, Emily Clark, and myself sitting down to talk to you about our favorite martial arts moments on screen. Who kicks and punches the best? Is Bruce Lee the best of them all? And do we like cheesy kung fu? Those were a couple of the things that came up. Then we're moving into our favorite cameos. Do we like a surprise character to show up that we didn't know was even going to be in the film? Do we like it when an actor plays that character and we had no idea they were even in the credits? And what is defined as a cameo? How long on screen before cameo turns into an active role in said film or TV show? And then lastly, we're going to do one of our favorite segments, Roger's Regret, where we take a 2-star rating from RogerEbert.com, specifically Roger Ebert's, and we rehash it for you today and see if we agree, disagree, or don't give a fuck. So that's who's on the show this week. That's what's on the show. Attention alert. Pay attention to this one, kids. If you like movie trivia and beer and fun times, you're going to want to come hang out with us. The Real Debaters are doing their first trivia night, April 27th, at Little Brown Jug in the heart of the Exchange District in our hometown of Winnipeg, Manitoba, 7 to 9 p.m., 336 William. Tickets are $5, and this is general, well-known, easy-to-figure-out movie trivia. You can have teams of four, no bigger. There's only room for 60 of you, so get your tickets now so you can come have some fun, drink some delicious beer, and hang out and have some laughs with us. We're going to be playing some clips in the background. We'll have maybe one or two of us will be doing some impressions based on some of these questions. Who knows? We like to let the shit hit the fan, so to speak, when we do our live events, if you've been to one, so you'll know how much fun they are. So again, April 27th, 7 to 9 p.m. at Little Brown Jug, 336 William Avenue. If you want to buy tickets right now, they're on Eventbrite. Head to the link in our bio on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, Real Debaters Pod, R-E-E-L on Twitter and Instagram, and the Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook. $5, kids. It's cheap. It's easy. It's going to be a good time. We want you there, so get your tickets now. I have nothing else for you this week, kids. I will cue that reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody, to the official space section of the Charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters Podcast, the place that asks questions like, what happens when real life meets real life? I'm one of your very most excellent hosts, Michael Petro. Sitting to my right is...
Well, that's me. I was like, what's his right? Emily Clark, your less excellent host.
Your directionally challenged second host. And then to her right is...
I'm Mark Cowell. I'm here today.
Mark,
and Mike, I got a question for you.
I
is it
answer.
When like the real double E meets real EA or when the real EA meets the real double E?
It depends on the day,
oh.
I think. I mean, I think it's the real R-E-E-L meets R-E-A-L. That's what I was originally thinking. Was
but
thinking,
sometimes
it's R-E-A-L to the R-E-E-L.
Yeah, like shit gets too real in movies.
Right?
Ooh.
Or
your life becomes kind of like a sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
Always... I
like, is there a laugh track to my life here? Like,
wait, did you hear that? I thought that was in my head.
If you listen closely right there, there's the laugh track.
Yes.
I think it was R-E-E-L because it was always off the screen. Because if you remember, yeah. it was here you go, listener. If you're new, our best episode is our first finding of who we were when we found our stride, which was it's a tie between what is the best close quarters hand to hand combat weapon, which that was, I think, your first.
That's going to be a ding, ding, ding segue into
Of
the stuff we're talking about.
Oh, yes. Sweet.
Nicely done.
And then the other episode is what Sylvester Stallone character should run a summer camp, because that was real R-E-E-L to
real life. Yes.
But then as things evolve and grow, we were like, well, let's go from real to back to the screen.
Also, if you look at our call sheet, there's your answer.
It's true. But that does change. Sometimes I feel like fucking around with that.
Okay, yeah.
And we're the only ones that see it, so it doesn't matter. But
fun fact, listeners, we have call sheets.
We do. Yeah. Because we're pros.
Very professional.
We're pros. You know that. But welcome to another episode, listener. Thank you for tuning in. This week on the show, we got our first Real Talk of February. And as I promised on previous episodes, we're only doing one love topic this month. I do have an ability to go heavy-handed sometimes.
The month of love.
The month of love, the month of Christmas, the month of horror. I'm like, no. We're just going to do one special. So we've already done it. So you don't have to worry about it anymore.
I feel like we did the best meet cute maybe our first time.
That was,
our,
yeah.
Our Halloween first time.
Our Valentine's. Halloween meet cute.
Sad to be left out of that one.
They made next out time, over a grave. Time. No, it was best meet cute though, yeah, right? Like and then that. We defined a meet cute. And then we did the love special with your lover, Chris, partner, wife.
Your lover.
I don't know why I said that.
Your lover.
Your lover.
Not my partner, my lover.
Your yes. love. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Your lovers.
They have not met yet.
In fact, we're not supposed to be talking about it on the show.
Sorry. That's an edit. No, but we did the love special of like life and love on screen.
Yes, we did.
Life and love in the real life. I want to make a dating show for next year. I want to go back to like the dating show and like, you know,
like
whoopee,
the match game
and stuff like that, like the couples games, right?
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah, the newlywed game.
Right? You know what I'm talking about? Listener, you got a year to go, but tune in.
That sounds
it's coming.
Great.
Can you make those shows anymore?
I don't think so. But like, remember Blind Date?
Yes.
Yeah. But can you make any of those
Fifth Wheel?
Fifth Wheel, right? With
next,
Aisha Tyler?
Next.
Yes.
Next on the bus where the people got off the bus.
Yeah, I
like
the next was a good one. That was, I like that one.
Can
that
you imagine
fun.
The emotional devastation of not even stepping off a bus and someone just being like, ew, next.
It was so binary. It was so Captain Marvel.
Exactly.
Wow.
Like you just either were or were not. You know, there's no fucking around on those shows. But Aisha Tyler, who went on to host Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic host, but she really made that show worth watching.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have tuned. There was no host on Blind
Date. What was the one? What was the date? Was it Blind Date that had the pop-up fun facts? Was that Blind Date?
I think that was Blind Date.
That was Blind Date.
That was fun, too. I liked that one.
It was always a jacuzzi.
Yes. Well, you got to see them in their bathing suits.
But like
they always ended up, in some sort of
wet environment.
Yes.
By their own making and doing or otherwise.
Their way to it.
Yeah. I mean, and like, you know, they weren't shy. They just closed the door to the gate that they went home to, and you were like, all right, I guess they're going to fuck. Like, they didn't leave much to the imagination.
Young, dumb, and full of cum.
Not after that night. Anyways, so that's next year's debate for, and it might even be a live one. Like, we should do a live reality game show, dating game show debate somewhere.
I
like,
we should host
speed dating.
Dating game show for Halloween. Have Valentine's.
And then we could do.
You really want it to be Halloween today, don't you?
We could do Real Debaters speed dating then, too. We could invite people up for like a quick speed dating round. Oh, that'd be
great. Yes.
We're going to be vertically integrated by the end of 2023.
I love this.
We're going to have a cologne. We're going to have a fucking shoe.
Brand integration.
Right.
It's going to be vertical integration for your horizontal integration.
Well played. Nobody buys a skateboard, but fuck it. We'll have a product in every line out there. So on the show this week for you, ladies and gentlemen, is best martial arts moment on screen. We'll put it that way, right? We got a list to go through, as always. Some of the other people in the world have compiled it for us. So we're going to review our favorite martial arts moments, either their old cheesy kung fu or like new age wild CGI stuff. Who fucking knows with us? We've also got best cameo. And I think we've done that before, but we didn't do it properly. We really didn't stretch the yarn on it. So we're going to talk about that one moment when a famous face steps on screen that isn't in the credits. Nobody knew it was coming.
Love a cameo.
A cameo just changes the whole fucking scope of a movie sometimes.
Especially if you're kind of just like in the swing of things and all of a sudden you're like, oh,
right?
You know, it just like pulls you right back in.
I know.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yes, that works. Because it's it's like, who should? Who could do 5 seconds on screen and then be done and say enough?
And there's also an interesting like dimension to the cameo. Not just the, like, sometimes the cameo of who the person is, because they have so much gravitas, if you will.
Ooh, I like that.
And doesn't matter who they're playing.
Yes.
You know, it could just be, like, dude on elevator. Like, that that type of cameo.
Yes.
But then there's also the, like, when you're dealing with something that has a universe or, you know, a backstory, it's like you didn't expect that character from the book.
Here comes the crossover.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. And you're like,
character cameo versus the actor
so
cameo.
And it could be just the character cameo. And then there's the double play, right? That you get like the big person who's playing the thing and you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah. You shit your fucking pants in the middle of the movie.
Yep.
Yes.
And like, you're broken. Like, you don't like, no more. Let's go in this direction.
Your eyes start switching.
And then lastly, we're going to pull up a favor that we've done in the past, which is a Rogers Regret. If you've listened before, that's where we take any 2-star rating rating by the famous Roger Ebert, may he rest in peace, and review it ourselves and see if we go lower, go higher, meet in the middle, see what happens with our professional, and I air quote the fuck out of that, opinions. But before we do that, let's step off this moral coil, talk about what we watched. Mark! What did you watch?
What did I watch?
I played catch up on my superhero-esque movies. I'm not going to talk about them.
Was there any
much.
Mustard or relish or just ketchup?
Yeah, you know what? It was one of those ones where movies that weren't great that we kind of were really poorly reviewed, and I just kind of put those on the side.
Like what?
And so I did Black Adam.
I loved Black Adam.
Morbius.
Loved Morbius.
And
you're the only one.
One other, which I can't think of off the top of my head.
It'll come to
okay. But yeah, so I caught up and did those. And I, you know what? I did the Batman.
That's it. Right? Yes.
I'm dying to hear what you think, because I've had this argument with everybody about Morbius and Black Adam.
And I don't, you know what? I can
don't
step back.
Don't you remember
back.
Him live messaging the group when he was watching
You know
Black
what?
Adam.
I can step back and I can say like where I enjoyed it. I enjoy bad movies too. Like my enjoyment level doesn't necessarily coincide with the quality of the movie.
Good.
Right? It could be a shit movie that I really enjoyed, and it could be a really well-done movie that I fell asleep in. So let's just start off by saying that. I enjoyed the most, like, I enjoyed the Morbius, like, him becoming the vampire and getting to that point, and even the cinematics and the CGI of, like, when he's the vampire, the way that it's very wispy, almost like smoke, and the way he's bouncing around. But then, like, the antagonist was so shitty. Like, I think, like, just his buddy that has the same disorder as him snuck in and took the potion. Like, I wanted somebody to go against him.
I kind of liked it because it felt very real to me. Like, you said you were going to make yourself and this guy better. You figured out a way to make yourself better, and then you were just like, fuck you to your friend. Like, that is definitely how you make a bad guy.
Maybe I want that as, like, a bump in the road, and then there's, like, a bigger... Because the way they played it is like they're setting Morbius up for Morbius 2, and I don't think he's getting a Morbius 2.
What did you... He had the best quote.
But like, when he looked out into the city, and the city got like all smoky,
yeah, smoky
and like
cool.
His echolocation yeah. kind of thing, I'm like, that was fucking cool.
I haven't seen it.
I liked it.
I like that.
I've seen it twice.
Yeah, no, I didn't think it was nearly as bad as... And then Black Adam was, it was
what
I enjoyed.
Was your, what was your quote about Morbius? Like, the only
the
reason
best,
Morbius.
The
best
most, most redeeming quality of Black, no, the most redeeming quality of Black Adam was that I watched Morbius right before it.
I can actually see that.
Like, it does change the landscape of what's coming next.
I feel like that's what yes. happened to me too, because I think I watched Morbius right after I watched Moonfall. So I think it was the same.
Yeah,
like,
Human Centipede and then yeah. The Postman. Like, yeah, 3 yeah. hours of mail looks amazing next to people yeah. eating.
And then I watched The Batman and I'm like, holy fuck, that was really good.
That was really good. I felt that one a little bit long.
We talked about
it
that.
It was long, but I love that.
Yeah.
I love when you get right in there and they go deep and you...
My attention span's like... The two hour movie mark.
Like, I get
me.
Disappointed when movies are less than 2 hours now. I'm like, oh, it's a 3 hour and 15 minute.
Let me chew
yes,
on that.
Fucking get in there.
My brain
I'm
can't.
Wearing my diapers. Let's go.
Fair enough. I thought Black Adam was really funny. I didn't expect it to be as funny as it was. I really
yeah,
enjoyed that.
It had a fair amount of humor. I think it suffered from some of the same pitfalls that I felt like Justice League suffered from, the original cut, in that they get a bunch of characters that they introduce to us
really
quickly
fast.
And they're like, hey, here's Dr. Fate, he really fucks around and can see the future and can do a bunch of really cool things, now we're gonna go to battle,
and here's Hawkman,
and yeah. I want the long drawn out I want the Zack Snyder cut of Black Adam where it's 3.5-4 hours long and they show Dr. Fate getting his powers and how he found the helmet and what, because Dr. Fate, let's be honest, is not getting his own solo movie. So we need the Cyborg treatment that Snyder gave Cyborg to Justice League to Dr. Fate and Adam Smasher.
Preach it.
Right?
And, Smasher,
and we,
yeah.
we really focused on Black Adam's history, right? Talked. We thought he was one person, and then they pulled the fucking flip
yeah.
the switch, and he's a different
person. He's a Shazam guy.
The
yeah.
Shazam.
Same
yeah.
lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Shazam.
Right?
Yeah.
So they did a lot of that history, but then we got nothing for everybody else. They're just like, boom, here's Hawkman. I got fucking cool wings. Let's go.
I kind of thought it would have been better to have... multiple movies, but I kind of, but again, that's my short attention span is like, I want to see 3 or 4 origin story movies and then stick them together, like the Marvel formula.
I like the background, and like even movies I don't like. I'm like, give me a show, give me fucking 8 hours of that person as a baby and why they became the way they were.
And that's actually, but see, that's the weird thing is I would prefer an 8-episode series over a movie
because
I do like the background, but my brain needs a break in the middle.
I liked Blackout because we've all seen it now, but we never, like, we talked about it a little bit at the Christmas debate, but and then we talked about Batman at Chrissy's birthday. But Black Adam, The Rock can be a superhero.
He's like basically question answered, right? Already. Yeah.
Yeah, like, but at the same time, like, okay, great, good, and all, but I don't know what it is. I can't say what it is, but it just feels so executively pushed compared to the Marvel where the creative team leads the way, right? Like, I don't know if this is my own head, but it just feels like it's and maybe it's because I know because I read a lot, but it's like I know they tested it like 5 times. So it seems more built like a model, right? With no cracks and no seams. And to Emily's point, Marvel just seamlessly goes together, even if it's long, even if it sometimes is out of bounds, that you can't see the seams. I can see the seams where it's like creative led the way and then boom, no, we have to have this scene so that everybody understands, and then back to cool shit. And that really fucked with my viewing of it. I thought it was
a hard time suspending reality to enjoy it.
Right.
Suspending
and
disbelief.
And playing into the gods and monsters aspect, which is clearly where Gunn is going to take it. I love that. I loved his backstory. I love when they did the big reveal and it's like it was him the whole time and his son
but
died.
But they give us so much of that, the backstory, but then they give us nothing.
It's his movie.
But they give us nothing for the heroes. Like nothing. They just randomly introduce heroes and like one hero sacrifices himself. And we still don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
why?
I get what you're saying. And, like, the Atom Smasher, I was just like, ooh, someone traced out the lines of this character.
Yeah.
I didn't know he existed.
And, like, say, like, well, big surprise. In Ant-Man, the movie with Marvel, we got introduced to Pym particles. And we got introduced to why you can go up and down. And why it's shady. And how the thing, you know. We got nothing of that from...
And those were great. Dr. Fate was a lot of fun to watch.
I think he's a really cool character.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like he was just short of saying, well, I've seen all 17 million possible outcomes to this. This is the only way that it could possibly happen.
It's only two endings. I think as someone who doesn't know the history in the comics, it probably, and because I don't really have a ton of background in reading in DC or Marvel comics, it makes a faster sort of viewing experience. Like I didn't feel like I was missing anything, but that's probably because I don't know what I'm missing. You know, like so as someone who really has no idea, I was just like, oh, cool. Good guys, bad guys.
You know what?
Fight.
I can say that about The Last of Us because I never played the game.
Yeah.
And I'm loving the show.
Yeah. I think, and that's another, like I started watching Last of Us and obviously everybody's watching it and it's really fucking good.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm scared for the emotional damage it's going to cause.
I've actually only watched half of this last episode, but it's a really short episode. It's only 45 minutes. I watched
first
20 minutes.
Okay, so you saw Frank and Bill then.
Yes. Oh. Like, what an unexpected side journey that fucking was so emotional.
I have them all, like, queued up and ready to go. I just need to convince myself.
Yeah. Emily. You will watch the most beautiful episode.
Without spoiling it, I've never seen a show take such a fucking hard right to tell us something that fits into the story but spends so much time telling you that side story. Here's an example of what I mean rather than just like, oh, here's the thing. This has happened. This is why this happened. You know, and we get it in half. Instead, they take an hour and a half to tell you the entire fucking story set over 20 years of why, and it all boils down to why the supplies are at the place they are.
Yeah.
Like basically to not spoil anything, but basically that's what it boils down to.
Okay.
It's like he could have been walking down the street, looked at this house, walked in, grabbed the bag, walked out, and that's all we got. But they told you
the whole
and spent an hour and a half of why the bag was there.
Yeah.
Is basically like that's not the story, but that's
kind
of an analogy to it.
The
bag's
the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
It just moves the whole story.
And I'm like, holy fuck. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, when have we ever got that? Which is cool, and it's brave of them to do it, I think, to take something completely out of the story and so early in the story for those of us that didn't play the video game. So early in the story to tell that much, and it was really, really well done, well acted so far.
This was me. The whole hour and 20 minutes, I was just smiling like a kid.
Yeah, and I like the similarities between like the Walking Dead world, but then I love the differences of, you know, I love the connection of the, you know, like post-apocalyptic things can kind of blend into each other. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it was nuclear war. Oh, it was a disease. Oh, everybody's zombies. Oh,
yeah.
You know, are they fast zombies or slow zombies?
Check some boxes. Post-apocalyptic
zombies,
move on.
Right?
Yeah. Zombies, do they
stun? And the fungal thing is really cool. You know, it's cool the whole mycelium connection and how. You know, I love that angle.
Cordyceps, right?
Like, yeah. And
ooh, the biology of it all.
Well, the concept, if you've ever seen the show Fantastic Fungi, and it really got me like.
No, but I think I'm one.
When they
real fungi.
When they talked about the mycelium, which is like the underground network that all the fungus have.
Yeah,
and
I do
like
remember
and
that.
How the entire forest talks to each other
That's
through this
like
network.
Why mushrooms are so cool.
That just fucking blows my mind. And they've taken that concept and like put it into this world of that's how if you step on a fucking mushroom here, then you know over there it senses it and it communicates and you're like
holy tremors.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, exactly, right? So yeah, no, that's what I've been watching.
That's awesome.
Okay, out of all of them, which one entertained you the most, and what do you give it out of it?
You know what, if I was sitting with some other people watching a show, Black Adam was very entertaining.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to pay attention to every line and you can still enjoy it.
Yeah.
The Batman is a movie that I need to sit there and watch with nobody else in the room.
Fuck off.
With subtitles on and loud so that I don't miss anything because I want to enjoy
it. It's also really
everything.
Dark. I found it hard to see too.
But I want to enjoy the whole, like it's one of those movies you want to pay attention to.
You want
to
wrap it around you.
Whereas, yeah, Morbius, Black Adam, I didn't need to. Last of Us, I caught myself not paying enough attention to the last episode, and I just stopped it because I knew, like, I need to give it my full attention. It's one of those shows.
It's
right?
Active watching, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that in that sense, The Batman was the best movie that I've watched recently.
I'm so glad you got into it.
And, yeah, and I loved the intricacies of some stuff.
Rabbit foot.
Yeah, right? You know, it really truly was like Seven.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Oh, totally.
And I love that there was like sort of the almost a little bit of Saw too, kind of maybe thrown in there.
There, well, what I really liked, what's the term? I'm not one, so I have no idea. Incel. I love the incel aspect. I love the YouTube mass media cult following, dejected youth of like. I really liked how
I
they
wish
brought
they
would have
played
home.
That up a little bit more.
I do too.
Like not just the big crescendo. But yeah. Like maybe gave us like them meeting up a little bit earlier or something.
Or something of the Riddler that causes the break.
Yeah. Or if we would have saw even like flashes of that material being consumed by like the people that.
Yeah.
You know, like if we would have saw them on their computers, like reading a post or following his manifesto.
Getting ready.
Or something a little bit more. We got a little piece of that where they were.
Chatting.
They quickly flashed to it and they said, where do you get the mask? Where do you get the, oh, it's a so-and-so. I wanted a little bit more of that, but other than that, it was really good.
Sweet. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Emily.
Yeah. Well, we all know that I love the bad movies.
Bad movies.
That's all
I like. It's my thing.
So bad.
What I watched this week was Megan.
Hey, that's not, that movie is not a, I know five people who've seen it and they all rave about it. I'm like, yeah, it's Chucky 2.0, but whatever. But like, I hear the concept is great. It's AI driven, right? Like,
yes, it is AI driven, which is really interesting, especially given all of the AI
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT. ChatGPT and Google, what is it called?
Mark?
Google Rate.
Oh God, there was the one that they
They just released like yesterday.
And then it made a mistake, and now they're taking a bunch of
flack. It's whatever the Google answer to ChatGPT is.
Do we know what it did?
Oh, God. They asked a question about the telescope, and it's like, what's the most interesting thing that this whatever telescope thing, and then it said something that in fact wasn't. Oh, it said it photographed the first planet that was out of our solar system or something like that.
No, the Hubble did that.
There was a part where NASA's like, well, actually, it didn't photograph the first planet.
Whoops.
It was really cool that it answered, but it's kind of wrong.
Anyways, Megan,
so it's very, it's AI driven. It's also interesting conversation about how parents or caregivers relate to children in an age where there's expectations on you to be pulled in a bunch of different directions. So kind of where parents are, parents and caregivers, I say caregivers because without too much in giving away in the movie, the plot centers around a child and her aunt. And so it's
legal guardian.
Yeah, her legal guardian. So child and caregiver, and the caregiver being pulled in a whole bunch of different directions between your work and personal life and their responsibilities.
Trying to be a parent
to their
in
2023. Relationship with their child. Yeah. And then sort of this relationship that develops with this doll, with Megan. And so it was a very interesting
doll or action figure.
And she was a toy. They always referred to her as a toy. So it was really interesting. It was very predictable. Of course, the way that three actors are.
Go.
Yeah, exactly. You knew what was going to happen the whole time. The design was really interesting. The way that they got to the point was really interesting. Some of the stuff that the doll was able to do was really interesting. It reminded me of like Ex Machina a little bit.
Machina? Or Machina?
Ex Machina? I actually don't know. I just assumed it was Machina.
I've heard it called two different things, and I can't tell you which one.
Tomato,
right.
Potato.
That movie with the AI that, Anyway, it reminded me of that. Machina, Machina, whatever. And
Jury's out.
Potato, potato. Yeah, like you said.
We always say tomato, potato.
Tomato, potato.
Because it is different.
Tomato, potato.
Exactly.
It reminded me of that, just not as groundbreaking because it was done already. But it was fun. Like a creepy doll running on all fours, like chasing a shitty guy through the forest to like rip his ear off and stuff. That was good times. I enjoyed that. I like
nice.
Her. Yeah, I like all that.
So I want to see Megan do the Wednesday dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Dance.
Same
dance
creepy
with
like
my hands.
Same creepy
Thank
vibes.
Thank you. I know what it is.
Oh, you have TikTok. Yes,
I've talked.
I've talked once or twice with a dick. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
In theater or is it on digital now?
I streamed it.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah.
So it was good. It was definitely enjoyable. I am a big fan of bad movies. I'm a big fan of horror. I'm a really big fan of bad horror, and this wasn't quite bad horror.
Does it want?
It was too good to be bad horror.
It was too good to be bad. It was too good to be bad horror, but it was too bad to be like really good horror.
Ooh.
So it was somewhere in the middle. It was fine. It was entertaining. It was what I expected. It didn't blow my mind.
Did its job.
Yep. It wasn't like I've seen. This has been a really good year for horror, or we had a really good year for horror with things like
Horror Plus is happening.
Yeah. So we had like Barbarian, we had Smile, we had The Menu, and those were all really, really good. And so I've been a little bit spoiled recently with horror movies, and so I expected this one to be worse or better, one or the other.
Sure. Yeah.
But it was kind of in the middle.
$70 million opening week, I think. $30 million opening weekend. Like, you know, I don't know what they did for advertising, but it worked.
It's easily consumable horror.
Okay.
But the horror crowd shows up.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. You're
right. And if you're not big into horror, like if you're just like kind of horror light, you know, you don't subscribe to Shudder, but like...
70-calorie horror?
Yeah. Then, then this was perfect. It was like creepy enough that it would be fun. You got some street cred if you see it and you're like 16. But it was whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I found The Menu, is horror light. No, it was good, but it's light on the horror.
It's
heavy on the psychological.
Psychological, it's cerebral horror.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
the stuff I like.
Yeah.
Horrific more than horror. Like, it's a horrific scenario to be in.
It didn't have a lot of jump scares.
I don't like the jump scares.
What people expect in horror these days.
You don't like jump scares. Ooh. And I don't like gore. I like fuck with your head shit.
And that's what it was. The only like jump scare gory bit was the course that was like the mess, right? Everything else was, which was so good.
But that was also psychologically
more
so than everything else, right?
That was a message across the bow to the entire hospitality
industry. The whole movie was.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was the hospitality industry.
A shot across the bow.
The hospitality industry, I thought you were waving at someone. You're just
the hospitality industry.
You don't see that?
class warfare. Yeah. Just like everything. That
Themed
movie was
out the ass.
That movie was, oh yeah.
And the
overarching.
Which word do I want to, like, where they've pumped up this whole food culture too much, and the chefs are like, "Fuck you."
Yeah.
You know?
Like the hyper-fixation on, like, the over-commercialization of,
yeah,
like, the...
What's even, like, the higher part of commercialization, where they turn something into this, like, exclusivity?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it shouldn't be?
That's where he said, I've priced my menu to the point where no one can access it except for you guys. Yeah. And so anyway, that's why Megan maybe isn't sitting as high in my mind as some, because I've been recently exposed to some really great, really original horror plots, and this was neither great nor original, but it was still entertaining.
How many AI like cartwheels down a hallway do you give it?
You know, I would give it a six. Six AI cartwheels.
Sure.
Yeah, six AI cartwheels, seven. Good times, good fun. Some like nice, cool, some cool fight scenes and stuff like that. Like, it's robots. Like, when are robots not cool?
Right. And, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So it was really good.
Movie doesn't have to be great to be entertaining.
No, it was definitely entertaining.
It totally doesn't.
And then for TV, I watched. Oh, I had it in my head.
Slippery place these days.
Yeah, no kidding. I was just like ready to go. I knew exactly. I started rewatching New Girl.
Oh.
And so probably for the seventh or eighth time. And so I know we've talked about
this.
Is it
Zooey or Zoe? I need to.
Zoe.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is. And I know
two O's in it, isn't there?
It is. And my daughter's name is Zoe, but my daughter's name is like the traditional like Z-O-E. And so Zoe Deschanel's Z-O-O-E-Y, which is very strange.
It's Zooey to me.
Yeah. But Emily Deschanel's sister, right? So like Emily Deschanel from Bones.
Bones.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, yep.
Oh, I did not know that.
So this is several times I've watched the show, and we've talked about it on this podcast before, that's a very classic sort of like neurodivergent, like anxiety.
It makes you feel good.
Anxiety,
you know it.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so my anxiety has been like bloop lately. So I decided to go back to a place that feels like warm hugs and blankies. And for me, New Girl's one of those. It's just, and the comedy.
Jake Johnson's great.
The timing, the chemistry between all of the characters, it just never gets old. And it never, and not only
Schmidt
that.
Schmidt is one of my favorite.
Oh my God.
Sitcom characters of all time.
He's hilarious. And Winston. And like all of them, honest to goodness, all of them are. There's a scene where.
I love the douche jar. The Schmidt douche jar.
I'm in the first episode or the first season right now, and there's an episode where when Jess is dating, it's Dermot Mc.
Oh yes, yeah.
Dermot Mulroney.
From Young Guns.
Dylan McDermott.
McDermott. Dougald McDermott.
Wow.
Dermot Mulroney.
Dermot Mulroney.
From My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yes. Yes.
Dermot Mulroney.
Super hot. And so she's dating him. She's the fancy man. And he's like, obviously, he's in like late 40s, early 50s. And they're all in their 20s. Well, at that point. And they're all in their 20s. And Nick has like clearly never had like a good male adult role model. And so he walks into his office, and he's like, something's happening to me. He's like, I touched this desk and I suddenly feel sexually competent for the first time in my whole life. He's like, Jess, I see why you like him. He smells like Shakespeare. Shakespeare was a damn cowboy. And he's like, all of a sudden I want whiskey and to go see a man about a horse. And it's just like.
Yeah, Nick is amazing.
Great.
Too.
Yeah. And so anybody who hasn't seen New Girl, no matter what.
I'm one of them.
What walk of life you're from, no matter what experience you are, like it's
such
pure,
a good series.
Excellent, wonderful, unadulteratedly hilarious comedy and unadulterated, whatever.
It's adulterated, whatever the best one
it's
is.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Adulterated.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, like, especially season one is just perfect comedy. And if you stick it out long enough, you get Megan Fox, who is also somehow exceptional and hilarious in her role. Like, I like Megan Fox a lot. But I didn't expect her to be good in like a dry comedy like role like
that's
that.
That's not her lane. Yeah.
Oh, but it's beautiful. She's beautiful. It's beautiful. The whole show is beautiful. Go watch it.
And
10 out of 10.
The characters are so different.
They are.
To throw together. And then what's the game they play?
True American.
Oh, it's fucking True American. It's amazing. It's like,
1, 2, 3, 4, JFK, FDR. Yeah. And as always, the floor is lava. Exactly.
So good. And they just somehow all know the rules.
Yeah.
And,
it is
oh, man.
The bears in the middle, they're the pawns. Yeah.
The
the joy that both of you are exuding right now from this show is...
It's so perfect.
It's addictive. I kind of want to... Like, I mean, I've clipped it, right? And you see all the hot stuff, and I knew... she moves in with a bunch of guys, right? Like,
yeah,
They're all roommates, essentially, right?
She moves in with three guys, and eventually...
Which is a fun dynamic, right? Like, you're going to have
it's
comedy
like
all over
Snow White
the place.
And the Seven Dwarves, kind of.
Well, and you get... sure. But you also get to put, like, every archetype of dude into three guys.
Yeah.
And write the girl to, like, take on all... Like, it's a fun dynamic.
Schmidt is just... His Schmidtisms are just...
Is he Schmitty?
Oh, my God. God, he's so quotable.
Yeah, he
so
is. Quotable. He absolutely is. And like,
is he like a nicer Barney?
No, he's
like a douchier,
worse than Barney,
like Jewish Barney.
But you love him somehow. Like you're rooting for him, even though like
yes.
In real life, if you met him, you'd be like, ugh. Yeah, no, it's I can't recommend it highly enough. Go watch it.
Hey, man, this is the winter of our discontent. Still, I mean, it's nice out, but I got a couple more months.
Exactly,
so
and that one's 10 out of 10 every time, no matter. What age, what time of day, what day of the week you ask me, New Girl's always 10 out of 10.
I'm glad you said the New Girl is, I don't think it enough people appreciated when I was loving it.
Yeah, it's great. It's happy.
I'm going to go back and watch it.
It's a happy place. Yeah, do it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Share it. I love it. Share it around. Fucking, yeah. All right. Emily, ask me what I watched this week.
Mike, what'd you watch this week?
Oh, thanks for asking. Actually, it's been, like, I watched a lot. I saw Smile.
Yeah.
Fucking loved it. You know what? I'll briefly say, I thought, spoiler alert, it's been out long enough. Sorry, listener. I thought that suicide creating a dark entity out of the suicide was a genius fucking idea.
It was really.
It's one of the darkest moments.
It was really, really crazy. Again, cerebral, right? Like that like in your brain sort of.
Totally.
And I don't know, but anyone who's ever had a. I'm gonna call it like a break, like a psychotic, like even just a moment where you weren't sure you were differentiating reality from not reality appropriately. That makes that movie extra scary, and I was horrified.
Shauna had nightmares. Like I think I got hit once. I'm not sure. Maybe I just walked into the wall. But it affected both of us. It's creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
Like it, but I think these things that they're doing now with horror, where like It Follows, sexual assault is the spoiler alert, is the entity.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And suicide is the entity. And we all go, like, if you don't believe in true religion and if you or have no, you know, are a devout whatever in your religion, at the end of the day, suicide is unilaterally known. It's not different for any culture, right? But our belief systems of where everything goes and happens after change dramatically. But one thing we can all agree on is that some, like, the wiping out of a life has to, there's something that
has
comes.
Has to have some impact.
Yeah,
right?
Right. It just can't be shh and done. So like suicide as a thing infecting another person, like mental health, all being tied into it, I was just like, this is really, this is too smart for this Smile.
Like
right?
Trauma, like, trauma being something that can be passed along.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shared trauma. We understand shared trauma and the suicide infecting the new person and then everyone else along that line. It just makes sense because it's suicide so dark and depressing and it's just a wipe. It's a wipe out of a life. And
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
Smile.
Whoops.
But we discussed how their viral.
I'm so sorry, I ruined
No, that's okay. But their viral ad campaign.
Yes.
Right? Was it, like, not from the outside? Like,
yes.
Did it live up to the hype of their viral ad campaign?
Because the viral ad campaign, what they're doing is they're taking, I'm going to do it all for you now. here's my reinterpretation of it. They're taking the moment in the movie where the smile, when it's shared, that's when
you're like the next person. Like,
that's when you're
the next
person.
The next, yeah.
Oh, what was that movie where the guy was being passed, the spirit was being passed from person to person, and they'd start singing the same song?
Oh, God. There's a few like that. Fuck.
Where the guy was getting killed. He was a prisoner on death row, and then his like spirit went into somebody else.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like that where it gets passed around?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
And it was just very smart. And I mean, I could talk about it for hours.
It's
very smart.
Like the stream of consciousness, like being in a person's brain as they're slowly going insane.
Sessie Bacon?
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon's daughter.
Yeah. Ah. Nepo baby.
I was thinking it.
But it's very, it was, to me, it was reminiscent of reading, what the hell is the Shining? Reading The Shining. Like, I don't know if anyone's read it, but like, it doesn't come across quite as well in the movie, but when you're reading The Shining.
One of us. Lives with a Stephen King fanatic.
You're literally in his brain, and you can hear his brain starting to lose it. And that was what I thought. That's how I felt in
watching
Smile.
Her break.
Yeah, watching her start to lose her mind and like really lose her grip on what was real, what wasn't real, and like trusting her own sense of like of her interpretation of the world was really, really scary. It's okay.
That's the difference between. It's funny that you bring it up. The Shining is that we feel in my household. Is that that sense of the descent into madness wasn't presented on the big screen.
I agree.
Kubrick didn't do a good enough job of taking Jack in his descent to madness, starting from a normal
man.
In the movie, he just starts as a fucking crazy man, basically.
Like a normal guy, hyper-fixated, maybe a little bit on like, did he do the wrong thing one time in his life, kind of, and then just like...
Pshw. And I feel you got to care about him before you care about his descent.
Yep.
Because if you don't buy into it,
then he's just a bad guy.
Exactly.
And then,
I don't like the movie that
he's
much.
He's a domestic abuser instead of a madman breaking. But in the book,
he's not even. I don't even think he starts as a domestic abuser.
No, the movie. In the movie, that's how you're given Jack.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of Jack's break. But
I'm a big fan of you need to make me care about a character before you do something bad to them.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's it. Like the beginning of Breaking Bad is always a case. Ugh. Like. It was slow, but I had to care about Walter White before I gave a shit that...
And Jesse.
You know?
I honestly took 2 days off of work when I finished Breaking Bad. I was so upset.
Did you see the Super Bowl commercial?
No. I saw that there was one, but I haven't...
They're reuniting for a Super Bowl commercial.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, I was so emotionally distraught from that show.
Let me drive us back here because I'll get my other shit out of the way. And then
okay,
can,
sorry.
I've heard about the commercial. I just... Won't talk about what I watch.
Okay, talk about what you watch.
Shauna won't talk to me about it. You're the only guy I can talk to about it. I also watched, I finished A Friend of the Family, which is Colin Hanks and Anna Paquin.
Nepo Baby.
Yes, Nepo Baby.
I like Anna Paquin, though.
Nepo Baby. We're going to do that a lot if we keep talking about Hollywood.
I'm just jealous. I'm waiting for my nepotism to kick in. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm ready.
No, I'm fine. So, but that is the show of a girl named Jan Broberg. And Jan Broberg was one of many kids to this loving Mennonite family who lived next door to this other Mennonite family who the father...
You told me about this, yes.
Yes. We talked about it when we first started
watching.
Yes. I closed it this week. I have never watched...
The father what? What? You didn't finish your sentence.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I did leave
And
you.
We're done.
And,
okay.
Yeah. I'm like... To the cliff, Louise. So the father of the next door neighbor is a pedophile.
Oh.
And a sociopath.
Oh.
And he convinces Jan to fall in love with him. And in the process, tell her that she is of an alien race. Her dad is not her real dad. If this man, the next door neighbor, B is his name. If B and Jan don't have a child by the time she's 16, they're going to take Jan's little sister and they're going to impregnate her instead at 9. And for 5 years, she's kidnapped. Possibly abused.
Possibly sounds like definitely.
Definitely abused. I'm just trying not to spoil it for you. I already fucked up Smile. And like, it's this 5 year run of the parents trying to get Jan back, while at the same time B manipulates both father and mother. He has a sexual interaction with the father and the mother.
Was there a Netflix documentary about this?
There is a Netflix.
Kidnapped in Plain Sight or something like
abducted
that?
Abducted in Plain Sight.
Did you say he had a sexual interaction with the father?
Yeah, he gave him a blowjob on the sofa or something like that. Or one of the
100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
So here's, I can't explain this series to you enough. It is 9 full hours of a fucking insane story that every step of the way, you want to be like, I need to Google this. I implore you. Don't do what I did. Go watch the documentary first. Then go watch this.
I've watched it, but it was a while ago.
Jan Broberg was an EP on the series.
it is like for like. It is one of the most closely, accurately designed shows I've ever seen from a true
story.
And
Jan Broberg was the person who was kidnapped. Okay, so that actually makes me feel a lot better about watching it, knowing that she was involved in the production, because I don't like watching things that are taking...
taking liberties.
Like, and or also, but like getting entertainment somehow out of someone else's like horrible experience.
You said that about Dahmer.
Right. Yeah, yes. That's why I couldn't watch Dahmer. I tried.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I totally do. But yeah, so I finished it. And at the beginning, here's the craziest part. Like, I just implore you to watch the documentary. If you don't want to watch the series, it's fine. But watch the documentary, listener. It is a lesson in being broken and abused and coming out the other end and trying to figure it out. And like, she is so well spoken and adjusted and has gone through so much to get where she has. And it's literally the literal definition of gaslighting. Like, he made a two-way walkie-talkie out of this like radio thing and like pretended to be the alien Xertha and some other one. Like, it gets so out of bounds. You're like, that couldn't have happened. At the beginning of every episode, they have the some events have been changed to highlight what is happening on TV, blah, blah, blah. They have that, right? So we watched every single one, and we were like, hey, let's watch a documentary. Find out what is different, right?
Yeah.
Did these sexual experiences happen with all of them? Check, check, check. Okay, fine. Were there aliens? Big fucking check, all right? The one thing that wasn't accurate was their divorce. When the parents got divorced, the court dates and, like, exchanges were not accurate to real life.
Oh, my goodness.
But the alien plot, 100% real.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Me and Sean were like, oh, this is real? Okay. All right. And then when you start checking, you're like, the literally the way it went through the court system wasn't accurate to real life. But the abuse and the story.
So not big changes.
No.
The father, Dan, real name Don.
Yeah.
That's on Netflix. Jan
is Anne, right? Yeah. Watch it on Netflix. Watch it on Amazon Prime. It's on Showcase through Stack. 10 out of 10. The last episode there's a whole episode of her self realization of what happened to her when she was young, and it's fucking powerful. It's
holy moly.
Yeah. Like, me and Sean, at first I was like, these people are fucking idiots. I had no sympathy for them. I came out the other end being like, wow, you guys. No, I don't think any family could go through what they went through and come out the other end still a family.
Yeah.
And like, not all fucked, because they all got fucked by the same sociopath. Anyways, 10 out of 10 strong Jan Brobergs. I'm not going to make a joke about that one, because there's nothing funny in that series.
Yeah.
And then movie-wise, I got me into A Knock at the Cabin. Me and Jimmy went to go see it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
M. Night Shyamalan. I'm not one of those, like, nothing's been The Sixth Sense.
The same thing every time I hear
Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Shalabama, Alabama. I've always liked his shit, right?
Yeah.
I love The Village. I even love Happenings, whatever the Mark Wahlberg one is that everybody loves to hate on, where the plants come back. And
yeah, no, they're all fun.
I was like, that's a cool idea. Plants, we fuck plants all the time. They can fucking fuck back. This one is dystopian in a little bit of a way, but I mean, okay, the trailer really does give a lot away. Like, we're here and it's apocalyptic.
It gives me Cabin in the Woods vibes.
Way better. Way
There's
better.
There's no way. Cabin in the
Woods
is...
you know how, like, here, I'll tell you this. Like,
I was surprised to hear it was M. Night Shyamalan. I thought, to me, it felt a little bit Jordan Peele.
You know what? Totally. This is exactly what Peele would do. Coming from Get Out and it being dystopian
and Nope
being alien. Like, it's another check on the box for Peele. But no, it's very M. Night right from the get go. I can't remember the little girl's name. She's fantastic. The daughter, the one that they have,
the one that you assume
will kill.
I also have not seen it.
But what's in the trailer is the plot. But
that's awesome.
Like every M. Night Shyamalan movie, you're like,
one of you must die to save the world?
100%. That's the plot.
Okay.
Yeah. But.
It's Cabin in the Woods. That's Cabin in the Woods.
Is it real?
Cabin in the Woods.
Is the point.
It's Cabin in the Woods.
Is it real?
is there a command center? That
exactly.
Send in the vampires.
I loved
about the hillbilly zombies?
I love that.
Cabin in the Woods was awesome.
It was.
Yeah. It's Joss Whedon.
Oh, was it?
I hate to like it, but I like it.
I know. I grew up on Joss Whedon. I know.
Anyways, go see it. Watch it whenever you get a chance to watch
it. Is it scary? Is it?
It's not scary. There's no jump scares. It's violent. It's bloody.
So take my kids.
You don't take the girls.
Does it take place in the cabin? The entire
one place
time?
The whole time.
Oh, I like that.
That's his jam.
Give
him a confined space. Oh, he'll love it. Cube is right up your alley. You need to watch Cube.
You know
what? You've never seen it.
You have to get creative when you don't have a sandbox to play in, right?
Yeah.
Like when you have a very limited space.
Yeah.
If we film the movie in this room, you have to get creative about how it all plays out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of how it all plays out, Dave Bautista is the best wrestling actor. End of story.
That's awesome.
That is my hot take. I will watch Dave Bautista
like,
do anything.
Better than The Rock?
Better than The Rock.
Love
Holy
The Rock.
You know why?
Shit.
You know why?
I love The Rock.
Kay. I do too.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you why. And it's like comparing LeBron and Jordan, right? Like very hard to do because they both do the same thing.
So The Rock is Jordan, right?
The Rock, yes. The Rock is Jordan. Yeah.
Okay.
And LeBron is
Bautista.
Bautista. But whatever. The point is, the point of what I'm trying to say is that The Rock has never taken an acting lesson. He grew up learning to be The Rock, and The Rock just so happens to transfer parallel to the action genre very well because he's always been action, right? Like he knows the basics, but he's a performer. So a lot of his movies are based around a performance of a very like manly, strong, leading.
You see the
man.
Tooth Fairy?
And that's where that, but that's where that conversation stops,
like,
right?
I did it for my daughter.
But like, okay, we've watched now. We've watched The Rock do a lot of things, but we've watched San Andreas, we've watched Rampage,
Is it Get Shorty or what's the not the, the other
Get
one?
Smart.
Get Smart.
Oh so
God.
Good.
I know. But
so good
but,
in that.
But take Red Notice, take Get Smart. Take,
I like Red Notice.
I'm not saying that. I love The Rock.
I do too.
The Rock is my guy.
Moana.
Right? You see?
Yeah.
I'm not arguing your points. But what I'm saying is that that's always what we can count on.
That's true. He's the same.
We've gotten Drax. Then we've gotten this cuckoo bananas character out of Glass Onion. Then we got the big bad in James Bond for a minute. He was a James Bond villain, right? We've also gotten him in Dune. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
did you hear his interview where he's like, why does nobody ever ask me to be a romantic lead?
He's like, what's wrong with me?
Am why I ugly?
I would love to see Dave Bautista in a rom-com. If Cena could pull off that Amy Schumer movie he did where he's the big buff guy and he's making fun of himself, then
I think
Cena pulled off Peacemaker fantastically.
Cena was great in Peacemaker.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And both of them have taken acting lessons. So what I'm saying is if you want to compare apples to oranges here, then The Rock has really never taken an acting lesson, but figured out how to make what he does work on screen, where these two guys have gone and learned some method. So that's why I will watch Dave Bautista do anything, and I trust him a lot more than The Rock going super dramatic, serious. Like, I've seen The Rock, he's like Walking Tall, he did. Nah, I mean, okay, but like, he took over for Arnold. Right. Let's just.
The Rock is an entertainer.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You're not going to win an Oscar.
Yeah. Well, I loved him in Hobbs and Shaw. Right. Stage we paid $40
gosh,
to
yeah.
see that. I paid $40 to
paid
see
twice,
that. Paid
twice, not once.
Yeah.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Anyways, Batista's fantastic in this. He
also,
carries.
I'll be Batista's like leading lady in a romantic comedy. He wants to just scoop me up in his arms and carry me away. That's totally fine.
He was great in Glass Onion,
right?
Oh, he was so good in Glass Onion.
He's willing to step out and say, "Judge me," right? And we can see his weird shaped head, right? He's willing to be out there in a thong with a gun.
Yeah.
Being
that was awesome.
Right? Like, like so The good. Rock will never do that because The Rock is like $1 million a year PR image where Batista is like, I'm from Tampa and I live with my dogs in a small house. Like, we have two different
I love it.
Attempts at doing this job.
He doesn't take himself as seriously.
He doesn't.
Yeah, which is great.
I got a Batista story, actually. I've seen it. I've seen the man.
You've seen it?
When you're that big, you're it.
Yeah, fair enough.
You're not a human anymore. You're just that thing. So when Raw came here, like eons ago, it was like my mid-20s, I think. So I was still going to the Pal. And remember the coach? You guys remember the coach on
yep.
wrestling?
Yeah, okay.
So Raw happened, and the Pal's always been like traditionally where they go. used to be the Polo Park Inn, Canadians, right? The bar there, they'd head off after the stadium, and they just get fucking pissed out of their mind.
Oh, it's like Tijuana Yacht Club?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, anyways, we go to the Pal after, because my mom's like, they always go to the Pal. You should go to the Pal if you want to see wrestlers.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me you're with me, your mom.
No.
My mom was like,
we should go to the Pal.
That's where all the Cougars go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not your boyfriend.
Go scoop me up a wrestler.
Yeah, okay.
Or get scooped by one.
That's what I just said. Let's go. Let's go right now.
You and my mom can go scooping wrestlers.
Perfect.
So anyways, we're there. And like the coach is there having a drink, so we went over and talked to him. Nice guy. Answered all of our stupid wrestling questions. We're like, okay, we're going to go. Nobody's shown up yet, right? Because I'm like, these guys are probably drinking in the locker room and doing all that dumb shit. Long story short, we end up walking out. And I literally walked into Batista's stomach.
Oh, my goodness.
Batista and Randy Orton were walking into the old Pal. Batista had to turn sideways and drop to get in the door frame.
That's amazing.
And then turn and go back. This is Batista at like he's geared out, ready to go.
I can't even imagine.
But like,
I can't even reach like the middle shelves on a standard cabinet. That, like, I can't even imagine having to like crunch to get through a door.
Oh, that man was like.
I'm telling you. Why do we even have upper cabinets? I can't get to anything
where,
there.
Sir Dan hides all the snacks. I'm like, I know they're up there.
Dan.
Can you get me them, Dan?
No, he's just a beast of a man. Just an absolute fucking beast. And like, didn't say anything. I was just like, I will sidestep the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I probably could just like walk through his legs, you know, just like duck a little, just like a bridge.
Knock at the cabin to some eyes. Sorry, listener. I would say, I'll give it like a solid... Yeah, like 7.5
nice.
Out of 10. I give it 7.5 knocks at the cabin out of 10. The ending's, you know, it's like any M. Night Shyamalan movie. The ending is the story, and it's great. Keeps you guessing. This one's based on religion and belief and all these crazy things, and you don't know until you know. So, yeah, go see it.
Don't know until you know, you know?
You know?
Anyways. Yeah.
All right, so moving on. Let's... shake it off. Let's start this fucking show. So this week, like I said, I guess I should cast it back up on the screen. What did I say? What was the first thing, Mark?
The Kung Fu's and the ninja movies.
Exactly. All of the best high kicks in the history of. So like, I mean, I know we all have our own, but it'll be fun to chew through this list in a second here. So as you started the show, Mark, like when you were saying, and you were like, I'm going to counter how you're coming at me with this week. You were saying you wanted to talk about maybe martial arts and not the general aspect of like, it's a kung fu movie and we're going to see.
Well, martial arts is now, and we know with UFC and everything else, like all fighting is a martial art.
Yes.
Right. It's not just your traditional Asian martial arts.
Taekwondo.
Right.
Kung fu.
So, and I think they get into it in there where there's some Matrix stuff.
Yeah.
And Matrix
isn't
your traditional kung fu. I would argue that stuff like the fight scenes in, I'm trying to think, where you incorporate like guns and martial arts are still your martial arts, right? Your, what's the word? Why am I blanking on it? Because I'm trying to talk and I can't stop and think.
Let us help you lift the load.
Other Keanu Reeves movie.
John Wick. That's what
Wick
I was
movies,
say. I was
right?
Say John Wick.
Like the scene in the first Wick when like the 15 guys show up at his house,
yes.
Right? That is one of my favorite martial arts sequences. But it's less martial artsy than
I get what you're saying.
You know,
it's a mix of like blocks and kicks and gun movement,
knives.
Like, right? In John Wick 2, they're in that it's almost like a library or something where there's a whole bunch of weapons and drawers and shit, and they're fighting in that, and you know, and they're like slamming each other in things, and
well, that's
you
super
know?
Jackie Chan.
Yeah, it is
using the environment as part of the fight.
Yes,
yeah.
And I think that's amazing with the Wick fight scenes is using the environment becomes part of the props and the weapons and the.
And you're
I always thought that was
more
cool.
Of that too, like Gunpowder Milkshake.
Yes,
was similar, like the using what's around and the fighting martial arts style, but also with weapons, but you know, with guns, and then like the ladies in the library, right, where they get all their stuff together, and they like the library is like their fortress, and they've got their bus with all the guns and everything, and like but all of that incorporates martial arts into it too.
It at its core,
it is all martial arts. Yeah. Like in this list, I was like, you guys are forgetting, like Equilibrium. You guys ever seen the Christian Bale movie, Equilibrium?
Yep.
Can't think of that one.
Okay, so it's the future and all emotion's been outlawed. You take a pill. It's very 1984. Their defense.
I take a pill right now for all my emotions. I'm already there.
I know, but you're not forced to. You still have the choice.
Well,
nobody wants nobody wants emotions. They get in the way.
Yeah, they do. Fucking caught some feelings this week. God damn it. No. But when they fight, there's this incorporation of the gun, and they move their hands in certain patterns that allow you to be maneuverable. But they do it with the lights off. That's the crazy fucking thing. I totally appreciate when you see the evolution of it on screen, because I mean that's Jackie Chan, that's even Bruce Lee in some mm-hmm. scenes, right? Like incorporating a cup or a plate or some dumb shit.
Yep.
No,
I like when martial arts get sort of like co-opted for, I don't know, I all of them just call it nonsense. In movies, again, I like bad movies, so I'm a big fan of really old James Bond movies. And so there is that whole like absolutely insane plot line in You Only Live Twice where Sean Connery goes to like ninja school.
That's right.
And so he's getting
trained. Original Dark Knight scene.
Yeah, so
I was going to say we're Dark Knight, yeah.
Yeah, being trained by like all these ninjas and then all of a sudden he's like, is it time? And he's like, no, you need 2 more days. And
also very Kill Bill when you go up the mountain with the water. Oh my God.
They've been living, and like these ninjas ostensibly have been there their whole damn lives. Like they've like born and raised to be ninjas. And Sean Connery just shows up and like out ninjas them in like 3.5-4 days.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to like use ninja tactics a little bit throughout the rest of the movie, like ninja stars.
Well,
and stuff.
That's where Austin Powers and the judo chop.
Judo chop.
Yep. That's where it all stems from. Is that like, I even believe he says something along the lines of some sort of chop in the scene.
Oh, yeah.
And he's co-opting the fuck out of it, but making fun of it at the same time.
I miss that campiness from old James Bond, like Jaws and
Moonraker.
Yeah. You know what?
Odd job. Random task.
Yeah, random. I don't even like watching new Bond movies. I only like watching the old ones. And I, on a weekend where I don't have anything else to do, I will quite happily like plunk my butt down on my sofa and watch 3 or 4 Bond movies. And then, and just like by the end of it, I'll just be like, forget women's rights. I like, give me a bikini and some heels, and I'm gonna be like, oh, Mr. Bond. Like, it's just like,
I'm gonna take this back 20 years, Mr.
Yeah,
Bond.
Exactly.
You do whatever you want.
Pretty much. Like, it's so ridiculous. But they're just so much fun. I just.
Well, in like that era of film,
rarely has misogynism been quite so entertaining. And alluring.
Sometimes I'll be like, Dan will be like, do you want to watch a Bond movie?
One of the water.
Want to watch a Bond movie? I'm like, oh, I can't. It's just too much racism for me right now. Like, it's just I can't get past it today. But Roger Moore Bonds are particularly entertaining for me because I don't understand how anyone was at any point convinced that he was like super sexy because he's like such a weird mushy old man, and like B, they just clearly were like, well, this is insane nonsense, and so we're gonna lean right into the insanity, and we're gonna throw this 80-year-old like guy with liver spots out of a plane on skis. And we're just going to everyone's just going to be like, oh, yep, makes perfect sense.
Oh, yes,
to me.
The fight while skiing down the hill.
Yeah, or and some of it's just so ridiculous. So, like, there's a teenager, like, figure skater just throwing herself at him as if, like, that would be a thing that would happen to some, like, random dude. I don't know.
So
that's mine. It's not a martial arts movie.
No, it's
it's my favorite martial arts scene.
I said martial arts on screen. I'm done putting baby in a corner. Like there's so many different good moments
of your list. Like clearly the crazy 88 and is like super amazing.
Yeah, and like that whole hang on here.
It doesn't translate to.
It was my first
audio very well.
But Kill Bill came out when I was a teenager, and so just dating myself a little bit here, but it was my first real exposure to graphic violence, first of all, but also to martial arts in movies. And while I didn't end up being a huge fan of martial arts movies, I will say that I made my boyfriend watch Kill Bill's Volume 1 and 2 just like on repeat with me because I loved them. And he to the point where he was like, we can't keep watching this. We got to pick something else.
You know what's another mix of a fight scene with weapons that I argue is martial artsy?
Hold that thought for one sec because I'm going to answer your question about Kill Bill. look on your face. It's hilarious. I just want to say that I would not be a fan of these scenes without Kill Bill. Because yeah. Kill Bill was like, I didn't give two sweet fucks about martial arts before Kill Bill.
It was and like a soft landing.
It really was.
For white folks.
And it's,
for teenaged white people?
Us Westerners, it's no travel
like
experience.
Panda Express being your,
yeah, right?
your doorway into the Asian cuisine.
The on-ramp. Totally.
I went to the teppanyaki place down the street. Yeah.
But the crazy 88 scene, yeah, like it's, I was just like, this shit is, there's more than this? Oh, yeah. My goodness. And that actually also Shauna and me, that was our first movie. And I fell asleep during it, too. Ooh, anyway, sorry, I cut you off. What were you saying, your martial arts thought?
And it's just a scene in a movie. Probably the one fight scene that I've watched the most times is the opening blood rave in Blade.
Yes. Which also, like 100% martial arts. There's judo in that. There's karate in that. But that opening scene in Blade is absolutely...
I've watched that
ridiculous.
Fight scene probably more than any other hand-to-hand fight scene.
Well, and you know what? Like, they really don't, the true stuff, like Seven Samurai and that's the only one I know because I don't sound that smart, I guess. But, the old school Jackie Chan Drunken Master shit is just a laugh riot.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun and, he is the reason stuntmen are better at their job today. Because of his on-screen time. The guy's like, okay, sure, I'll jump through five chairs. Because no one's ever done that before.
Yeah, Jackie Chan is, that's just absolutely out of control, amazing. Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan.
The more less realistic it is, the more I enjoy it. The more,
that's
Ip Man.
Me too. That's exactly what for me.
Right?
Where it's
one guy and 100 guys and they're all falling and it's the most insane shots. I get that you want to pump your style of fighting up, but we all know this wouldn't happen off screen.
Yeah. No, I love it. The less realistic, the better for me. I like my entertainment to be very fictional.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so there's two Matrix scenes.
Yeah, there's some... There's
the
that.
Matrix Reloaded was the worst movie I've ever seen, and I will fight anyone who wants to fight with me about that. That was a terrible movie.
I won't watch it. I know Mark hasn't seen any of them.
I guess you.
Any
you
Matrix
know there was there's a whole generation of men. I feel that the Matrix is their whole
watch it
genesis
now.
To their personality.
Watch
you know?
It
like,
now.
It came out when they were I'm clearly calling out my husband here, but the Matrix came out at such a formative time in his man brain that no matter you can't say a bad thing about
it just
the Matrix.
Made you question your reality.
I was pre-Matrix and I don't care about it.
Yeah, I it's a good movie. I enjoy it, but it's
I just
not
figure
like...
with your computer knowledge that you would have been you would have just gravitated
yeah,
towards
I
it.
I don't know.
All I know is if I'm in the Matrix, if anybody gets out of it, don't come get me. I'm happy in the Matrix. It's fine. Maybe, stick a new program in there, get me some more money or something, but just, leave me alone.
In my formative Matrix years, if you will, in my version of Dan's Matrix years,
yep.
Ninja movies.
Yeah.
Man, did I get into some fucking ninja movies in the 80s.
Okay. All right.
Right?
Because I...
Bad, good ninja movies.
Like American Ninja?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
How about Love Best it. Of the Best? That's my bad 80s shit.
Ooh, Best of the Best.
With Eric Roberts.
Oh, yes.
Right? James Earl Jones.
He was in so many bad movies, Eric Roberts.
Oh, my God, he was. He was in everything Julia Turned Down. Yeah. And don't give my brother anything I'm in.
But those ninja movies were just... I just got so... hyped up on ninja shit for some reason.
It was like an
American Ninja was just amazing.
American Ninja Warrior? No, that's a different show altogether.
That is amazing, though.
It is, though, because it's based on the principle of, being American and having ninja-like skills. I guess that could be considered part of this on-screen celebration of martial arts. I don't know. What other bad 80s? Because I remember seeing those in Blockbuster. You'd go in and it would just be a bad ninja section.
There was a Dark whole a few years where they just went ninja crazy.
Let's see if I can bring up
I love it.
Something related to...
I don't know. And then I also probably dressed as a ninja for Halloween for 10 years.
I did too, but I was
like the fat version because you had to put your snowsuit underneath.
Like, is it like Beverly Hills Ninja?
Yeah, it was very Beverly. Oh, speaking of ninjas, Beverly, how do we forget Chris fucking Farley is Beverly Hills Ninja? Yeah. Right? Which is the whole reason we have Poe from Kung Fu Panda.
I was
going to
say, that's basically that. Yeah.
Right? Like, that's those two. That's the animated version of American Ninja.
Kung Fu Panda, I don't know why, but it just didn't hit for my kids the way it hit for me. And that's one of those movies that I would watch over and over and over and over again.
I still love it.
I still
watch
the
TV show.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. And then they've just got so many good lines, like one-liners in it. Like, a lot of time I'm doing things, I'll be like, noodles, don't noodles.
And there was like, that was a callback to those 80s films where it's like grasshopper style, crane style,
exactly.
Tiger style. You know, like
it's
all
literally
the
grasshopper and the tiger. Yeah.
Right? But there was a movie where they had all the different styles fight each other and... I think there was it Jackie Chan? There was a movie, and then the guy would fight in all those different styles, and it'd be completely different.
It's Jackie Chan. It's Bruce Lee. It's all those things. There was. I've just figured out how many American ninjas there were. This is how much money wasted. American Ninja, American Ninja 2, The Confrontation, American Ninja 3, Blood Hunt, American Ninja 4,
In Space,
The Annihilation, American Ninja 5. And American Ninja 5 is classified as a romance.
Ah, cute.
Well, the other, American Ninja 1 is also classified as a romance. Is there a romantic angle to the film?
I don't recall the romantic. I certainly wasn't paying attention to the romantic
thing. Unimportant, just ninjas.
Unimportant. The sneaking around, unseen, unheard. Very exciting.
Final thoughts before we move on to the second item.
I apologize to everyone who has an actual opinion on martial arts and movies there. That's well informed. Because mine certainly was not. So mine wasn't.
I just think it's like, I mean, like to mention The Matrix, like you said, because you can't talk about it. But like the dojo scene is like, and you've seen it. I mean, I know
there's
you've
lots
seen
of
it.
Dojo scene fights.
Okay,
though.
In but The Matrix, I'll talk about The Matrix. I won't talk about The Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah, that's a piece of shit, and I haven't seen it. But like, what happens is two things for the first time. A, he just learnt Kung Fu.
I know Kung Fu.
By
Show
putting
me.
A thing in the back of his head.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Right?
He discovers he knows Kung Fu. Yeah.
Like, I know Kung Fu.
And then he literally says. Yeah.
And then watching them do like this traditional Kung Fu style was this scene, there's behind the scenes footage of it where like they get down and dirty. That's every move.
Like,
right?
Isn't there, when they start fighting, though, they like do, and then they stop, and he has like that realization, oh shit, I know how to do this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they keep having those like pauses.
It builds and builds and builds.
It's pretty,
it
is pretty cool.
It is. And it's not a martial arts scene for the sake of a martial arts scene, but at the same time, it is, because like, it's showcasing what the Matrix can teach you.
Right.
We could have had anything in that scene, but to learn how to fight and to fight like this, fucking awesome.
So it could have been cooking.
Could have been good. I was going to say that, actually. Cooking. It could have been like chopping. Like,
yeah. I know how to saute.
Could have been 15 languages.
I can julienne. How did I know that?
He could have sang an opera.
Holy shit, I can sous vide.
Right? Exactly.
Show me. Makes a gourmet sous vide salmon.
And I mean, also Three Ninjas. I mean, we can't forget Three Ninjas.
I'm a little old for that. But
okay.
Yes.
All right. That was my ninja stuff.
Bring back ninja movies, I think. I'm ready for more ninja movies.
There needs to be a resurgence of the
ninja
movie.
Throw some fucking Power Rangers in there, right?
Oh, my God.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Like, honestly.
And you know what? The thing is that all these on the list are like martial arts, where they're showcasing a martial art. But none, like, how do you forget Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? How the fuck does a Studio Binder forget Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on
they
a martial arts
they
movie?
They wouldn't existed without that influx of martial arts ninja movies. That's where that stemmed from.
Even like Sailor Moon and stuff like that when we were a kid, right? They had a lot of, like, I think, martial arts influence in the way that they got
but
like ready
it
for
just
their fighting
hit,
and
hit
stuff.
Popular culture
yeah.
in a time that we didn't have as much popular culture that's tied together, like social media. It hit popular culture when it wasn't social media. So we went from the movies to the cartoons to Street Fighter, like the video games and Mortal Kombat. Right? Yeah. All at the same time. The world was obsessed with martial arts at that time.
Maximum button meshing.
Who do we have to thank? Because someone's going to write in and be like, no, Bruce Lee. You didn't mention Bruce Lee's fucking name.
A lot of Bruce Lee.
I said Bruce Lee.
I know, but we haven't said it enough.
Bruce Lee.
A lot of Bruce Lee.
Have you guys ever seen the clip of him?
And Chuck Norris.
Fuck. Fuck Chuck Norris. Even if he is the reason he gave birth to the entire 1977 Miami Dolphins winning Super Bowl team.
There's a joke about that.
Slam revolving doors.
Yeah. No. Okay. But Bruce Lee's the reason it's on screen for us here in the West. Mm-hmm. Like, he couldn't get a gig to save him beyond Kato on the Green Lantern. Goes back home, nails it, becomes one of the biggest fucking stars, and then brings martial arts back here against his own people, against the studio system, but then somehow becomes the fucking shit. Everything we love about martial arts on screen is because of the confidence and the fucking
tenacity.
Tenacity of
Steven Seagal. I'm glad we can agree.
The end. Next.
Perfect bookend, sir. Perfect bookend. All right, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on, next item on the docket, the surprise appearance from one of your favorite actors in a cameo role, right?
Oh,
and I mean,
the cameo.
I think we can all agree, listener, that it really does. It turns it up to 11 in the movie when you get a surprise that you didn't know was coming. And Mark, you made such a good point about how, I think this was pre-show, it's an hour ago, but how sometimes the cameo is an actor playing a character that is dug in the elevator, right? Guy in the elevator, you said.
Right.
Sometimes.
It's the fucking, the director of like old school shows up at the fucking door. I'm here for the gangbang.
Yeah, remember the gangbang?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I love that movie.
Fucking Todd Phillips.
Right? Just shows up, like, you know, there's a cameo. It's a subtle cameo.
And it's a cameo that, like, is a cult cameo almost. Right?
But you
like,
have to be have to in know, the know.
Yeah, you'd
right?
have to know that that's Phillips.
Yeah.
Or there's the big cameo where a huge name drops in. Like, I mean, just off the top of my
that
head.
That had no business being there.
No business being there. Bill Murray.
Bill Murray as the zombie.
Is in Zombieland.
Yeah.
Bill Murray in Zombieland. Let me get to the...
Yeah, absolutely.
He's right at the top, obviously.
Oh, is he?
But we'll start there.
Bill Murray in Zombieland, because they're like, when he says, we're going to go to the tippy top of the Hollywood Empire, and you're like, who could it be? Who could it be? Now we're all playing along with the fucking movie. Who could it be? Who's your tippy top of the Hollywood Empire?
Yeah.
And then it ends up being Bill fucking Murray.
Which is so funny.
It turned that movie... Because now you're just like Bill Murray, Garfield, Bill Murray, Caddyshack, right? Like you're just having this Bill, and then they're having a Bill Murray fest in the fucking movie. Slima, help me. How do I get it? Like she's trying to do the horrible impression I just did. She did way better. But like it just makes you happy.
I killed Bill Murray.
I don't know.
What about you, Emily? What's a memorable cameo? And also a shitty one. Has there ever been like a, what the fuck?
Okay, so one of my favorite movies that I've seen in recent years that I thought was really, really awesome and very, very original, and I really enjoyed it, was Free Guy. And oh, yeah. At the end, near the end of Free Guy, when they're fighting and they're using all the hacks in the game that haven't been released yet, and so he like unlocks all the weapons. He's got like a lightsaber or whatever, and then he pulls out the Captain America shield, and then it just flashes to Chris Evans, and he's like, "What the fuck?"
That was good. That one was awesome.
Yeah, I really liked that. Like, I already was laughing my ass off at that movie. I loved it. I thought it was great, beginning to end. And then when that
catchphrase,
never mind
catchphrase.
Even the lightsaber is a cameo.
Yeah.
On its
yeah.
own.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like that's an object cameo like, holy fuck! Allowed to use that.
We're in a world now where we're so IP obsessed that like fucking lightsaber was its oh that's hilarious that it's falling on you. Let me fix that.
It's okay. I think
it doesn't have to be a plasma saber. It can be a fucking lightsaber. The plasma sword. No, it's a fucking lightsaber.
Yeah. No, that was really, really good.
That was a good cameo. I forgot about that.
I'm trying to think of one that I didn't like.
I didn't even think of that being a cameo.
It's a cameo. Oh, yeah, because it really made me laugh. You know, one that I thought I could have done without, Wedding Crashers, where
Bradley Cooper,
Will Ferrell, where they
as Jet,
yeah, with a guy, he
might be a genius.
He might be a genius.
Hang on!
Hang on! Meatloaf.
What's a meatloaf?
Can we get that meatloaf? Yeah, I am. You know what I'm saying? It was funny, but like,
but is that a cameo?
Yeah, because I don't think. I don't think
he I think that's a role.
It wasn't advertised that he was in the movie. Okay. And it was, so it was like, it was one of those things, it was a secret, kind of, or a surprise.
Yes.
And it was like he was a huge star, but like at the time he was like at the height of his like super obnoxious movie making. It's a fun fact, I'm not a huge fan of Will Ferrell. Except
Jesus,
for
you and Jim Carrey, Will Ferrell.
Except for in the movie Stranger Than Fiction, where he plays a much more serious role, where his life is being narrated.
She's
writing a book, and
in that movie, is "I brought you flowers."
Yeah, yeah, it's such a good movie.
And he brings flowers from around the world that are baking flowers.
Yeah, they from baking flour to a baker.
To a baker, he's like, "I brought you flowers."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Fuck you, you fucking romantic fuck."
I love it. Anyway, so yeah. But it was the height of his like obnoxious movie making, and this was an obnoxious movie, and it was It didn't feel out of place. Like, it felt like it should be a Will Ferrell movie, kind of. And he was his total obnoxious self. So I don't hate it, but I could have done without it. Like, I thought that movie was super funny. I love it. I've seen it a lot of times.
A bad one breaks the whole flow.
And there's the question, though. At what point does a cameo become, like, a surprise role?
Yeah, because
it's more than one scene.
Like, the Bruce Campbell cameo is, like, the very short.
Yes.
You know, there's the Chris Evans cameo that's like,
what the fuck?
Right?
Yeah.
Just that quick, like three seconds.
Yeah.
Papa Pizza.
That's a true cameo.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Yes.
All right.
So it's, how do we define cameo as opposed to
Donald Trump in the second Home Alone.
There's a cameo.
There's a cameo.
I couldn't give a fuck about it, but there's a cameo.
Well, and that's fourth wall cameo now, because now it's on screen as yourself. That's part of us. That's,
yeah.
You've broken the fourth wall.
Fucking cameo. I just thought of it, so I'm going to say it. Deadpool, he walks by the room and all of the fucking X-Men are in the room.
Yes!
And then they just close the door. Like, nobody even says anything. So for me,
yes.
I'm just going to quickly go to the cameos there, because we're talking about it. I think as a collection, even though you're expecting it, and this is what I mean, like, not the person that's a surprise, but the role in is Stan Lee's cameos in all of the Marvel movies.
I was thinking about that, too. Yeah.
Right?
Because
you know what's coming, but you don't know what it's going to be.
Where it's going to be.
And
who is Stan?
Right?
Yes.
Exactly. So I think that was just iconic, that he's going to be somewhere. Where is he going to be? Is he going to be the janitor? Is he going to be the bus driver? Is he going to be, you know, the movie director? Where's he going to be? But you know what's coming.
It was such a smart idea to start doing, like, for somebody to grasp that, this being Long Con and seeing it, like, I mean, I'm sure they were like, we should just put him in, but then it's like, we should put him in everything.
Yeah,
like, this is what the guy who gives us all this deserves, right? Some screen recognition.
They're gonna run out of content at some point.
And he's usually like a comic relief, like he's a fun comic relief thing, right?
Hey, buddy, what are you doing over there?
Yeah.
Right? He's wah wah.
Just a little
kind of guy.
Yeah, I loved his cameo stuff.
Well, and to your point of length of cameo, because it's all about the length. Here's an example. Keith Richards, Pirates of the Caribbean, right on the screen, right?
Yeah.
That was always talked about. That came from the people, that came from us, right? You'd go into chat rooms and like who should be Captain Jack Sparrow's dad, because Jack Sparrow's talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And then you find out that Keith Richards was the inspiration for the character, and then all of a sudden it's like, did we get that? Did we put that out there into the world?
Did we create this?
Because when he steps on screen, as very brief as it is, he's there, right? Standard cameo appearance, but like the short lineless cameo, I'll Deadpool to you. Brad Pitt being electrocuted.
Oh, don't even see him.
Don't even see him.
Well, for a split second.
Yeah, like
a split
half a second.
You have to question, right?
Yes.
So Keith Richards' cameo is very short. It's like one scene.
Yeah.
It's confirmation. He's then in the background and barely says anything. He's like, how's mom? And he pulls up the shrunken head and says, she's a bit better.
You know?
But the Brad Pitt moment is that's a lot of favors.
Super cameo-y.
Right?
Yeah, super. She's only in for a very short
And then
time.
Sandra Bullock in Bullet Train, right?
I haven't seen Bullet Train yet.
The use of Sandy B as the agent on the phone who's dealing with her operator on the ground.
That's Sandra Bullock?
And Sandy B.
Not when she shows up.
Sandy B is
at the end?
In the whole movie. She shows up at the end of Bullet Train, that's her and them meeting for the first time. That's operator and handler meeting. But on the phone, whenever he's talking to her, that's Sandra Bullock.
When she shows up in person, that's not Sandra Bullock.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
What's happened to her face?
Oh, yeah. That's Holly. Well, she's I think she had some bad work done that she's talked about. She's
I'm sad for her, but that the world makes you think that you have to do stuff like that.
I still think she looks she's a fucking dame. I look at Sandra Bullock and I'm just like,
I didn't recognize her.
Yeah, oh yes. No, yeah.
When I loved on this list is the Matt Damon from Thor.
Ah, yes!
Fucking hilarious.
Yes!
Matt Damon from
Thor.
Also Matt Damon in Eurotrip.
Matt Damon's
Scotty
Euro?
Doesn't
He's
know.
Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty Ooh, doesn't
that's
know.
Me
that is one of the best songs
on
that isn't an actual song.
Yes.
I saw it.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just for the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Scotty doesn't know. She tells him she's in church, but she doesn't go. So she's on her knees and Scotty doesn't know.
That was awesome, actually.
Dan Aykroyd and Casper.
Yeah.
I've heard no ghost.
Yes.
He's in and out very quick.
Super fast. He just comes in to say like that he can help with their ghost problem. Basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's your Thor Ragnarok. But like,
yep.
As each other, like doing the character within the character and the character cameo, that's deep.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino in Desperado. Nah, I don't. He puts himself in all of his movies.
Yeah.
He's like a low rent Stan Lee. It's not.
Yeah. And there's less cameo and more small role.
David Bowie, I forgot about that. He facilitates the model off the walk off.
Yeah. He's like, all right, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but is it like then isn't fucking Billy Zahn? Like, also?
Yeah.
Because he's the one that actually...
Yes, that's
like,
right.
That they're hyping up that he's going to fucking judge it.
Well, Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Yeah. Zahn?
Yeah.
Zane?
Yeah.
Steve Zahn, Billy Zane.
Yes, yes, yes.
I think that's how that works.
I don't know. Fucking Machina, Machina.
Machina, Machina.
Mike Tyson in The Hangover.
Potato.
See, but he was, to me, small role, because he wasn't just in and out. He actually had a fucking role.
Where, yeah, okay, yeah. Not defined as a true cameo, right?
Tom Cruise.
You can't have this conversation. But, like, again.
Mark's favorite actor.
That's a role. That's not a cameo, because he says, like, he says enough things to be in a fucking, get a union card.
Yes.
Like, his lines are not few and far between.
That movie.
Tell us how you feel about it, though, for a second. Come on.
I like mine.
You know,
I don't
Les.
Even think about it. That's how
Les
much
doesn't
I
cross your mind
it.
At all.
That's how much I don't care about
it. But his hands were so big, it was amazing. John Hurt in Spaceballs. I don't remember that.
The alien. Yeah, he does. It's like the alien.
Oh, he does the alien parody
in
Spaceballs.
Yeah,
that's right. And see, that's.
Neil Patrick
Harris. But that's a whole fucking. Like, he's in the movie for a big chunk of it.
Neil Patrick Harris? He just drives by in the car, pretty much. But this didn't.
No,
this
he goes with them, and they do crazy shit.
No, he's done crazy shit, and then comes and gets them and steals the car.
This like restarted his career, pretty much.
I give full credit to that statement. Yeah.
But then doesn't he also re-cameo in the second one?
He does. Yeah. He keeps cameoing.
Yeah.
It's a nonstop Christopher Walken.
In the first one, people almost didn't even remember who he was.
Why is
like,
this a cameo?
Yeah.
Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction is not a cameo. That is a role.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is the dad of Butch. Like, it's not. No, not Butch. It's Butch. Yeah, it's Butch.
It's
a fucking role.
Okay, yeah.
Like, to me, a cameo for a parent is like, you're at the airport and you're picking up your parents and it flashes to some really fucking famous person and it says, hi, but, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
Like,
you
in less
like
than a minute.
Short and sweet.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Martin Scorsese in Taxi Driver is putting himself in his own movie.
Yeah.
Not a cameo because you got to get somebody else.
Everybody's just pulling the Hitchcock.
All right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Stick yourself in your own movie.
No, I mean, I like that
I
he's
mean,
in it.
I mean, I would. Don't get me wrong.
This was a good cameo.
Yeah. Bob Barker in Happy Gilmore is a great cameo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's Price is Wrong, Bitch,
Price
right?
Wrong, Bitch. Yeah.
Great line.
And Bill Murray in Zombieland.
Yay.
Gets number one, which we already, yeah. So, I mean, all right. Well, I think I like how we've come to a conclusion on what a cameo I mean, there's technically online.
We know what it's not. We're pretty clear on that.
Yeah.
Like a surprise person in the movie is not a fucking cameo.
No.
Tobey Maguire was not a cameo in fucking Spider-Man.
I thought I was going to hate that, but
right?
I liked it.
Like, it surprised us. Yeah. We wanted it to be there, but
Andrew
it wasn't
Garfield.
Just a cameo.
That
they
was a,
actually were in the fucking movie.
Confirmation,
yeah.
Character, Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
Of
I got to say, I thought I really did not like Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. I thought Tobey Maguire was like a little bit of like a turd. He fell flat for me. But whatever it was, like, he brought it right back in Far From Home or No Way Home or whatever it was.
He
I loved it.
Knew.
He was much better in that.
I loved it. I still don't want to sleep with him like I do the other Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
That could be somebody's last name.
Spider-Man.
I'm Bill Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man's, the Spider's
friendly,
man.
Friendly neighborhood Bill Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It sounds like your neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Won't
yeah.
you be Bill Spider-Man?
But I enjoyed his.
So.
Yes. And that's, I mean, talk about Marvel has so many fucking cameos. Like Multiverse of Madness, that whole fucking panel of the Illuminati.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
You, John Krasinski as Reed Richards.
Patrick Stewart
as Professor Xavier.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Last one.
Even Black Bolt, if nobody watched the series, because not many people watched the Inhumans.
That was Ensign Mount.
Yeah.
From, yeah.
Yeah.
Which we all, I looked into that after because I was like, oh,
I watched
Shockwave.
The whole before, yeah.
That's insane. So last item on the list.
See, if you don't realize what his power is, it's not as funny the way he dies.
That's very true.
Yes.
And I was one of those people.
Yes.
And what we really want is death to be funny.
Exactly.
Little chuckle.
Like,
not...
like when in
when they
burn
shoot
after,
Bill Murray?
Burn After Reading when they shoot
George Clooney.
George Clooney when Brad Pitt shoots George Clooney in the head in the closet.
That's the
only time I've ever laughed out loud, like hysterically, at a death scene.
Well, that and when he shows the sex chair rocking in the basement.
Oh my god! And you think it's going to be like a torture dungeon, and it's like
take a look.
It's a sex chair with the dildo that
built this thing surprisingly cheap. Got all the parts online.
It's one of my favorite movies. Again,
it is.
Again, Coen Brothers, aces. Right.
Let's enter last item on the docket here. It's going to be. So we're doing another Rogers Regret, which if this is your first time listener, it's very simple. We look at a 2-star or less review from Rogers Regret. Roger Ebert.com. And we call this segment Rogers Regret because we wonder if he regrets actually giving this ranking after we have sat here and chewed it out for a minute. So we have decided.
Take that, dead guy.
Yeah, I know. This is funny death. So on the list today is the classic comic book. Did you confirm if it was Frank Miller or not?
Yeah, Frank Miller.
Frank Miller.
The graphic novel.
Came after Sin City, right?
After Sin City, yep.
Okay.
And,
I can't understand.
Well, let me name the title first.
Sorry.
So the title in question is simply 300.
300.
Gerald Butler. Michael Fassbender, too, also in
Gerard.
That. Is it Gerald or Gerard?
Gerard.
Gerard?
Gerard Butler.
I learned
yes.
It was
Machina.
Machina Butler. Gerard Butler.
Thanks, Emily. I can't do anything with Mark.
It's Emily, actually.
But yeah, it's 300. And let me read a couple things that they've said, and then we can get into this.
I'm mad about this being a 2-star rating before you even read it.
I know. I gave a 4-star rating to Sin City, the 2005
yes.
film based on a graphic novel by Frank Miller. Now, as I deserve, I get 300 based on another work by Miller. On the earlier film, I wrote prophetically. This isn't an adaptation of a comic book. It's a comic book brought to life and pumped with steroids.
Yeah.
They must have been buying steroids wholesale for 300. Every single male character, including the Hunchback, has the muscles of a finalist for Mr. Universe.
They're Spartans. What do you expect?
Let's start with that. I mean,
it's a comic book brought to life. It's everything's exaggerated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're supposed to be, like, when you read a comic, they're all weirdly muscly, and also, like, chicks have, like, boobs built into their armor. Like, it's not supposed to be realistic. It's supposed to be sexy.
Well, and also, too, like, they really did justice with, like, if you look at the comic book characters,
yeah.
They are drawn, cut. Like, they're cutting for a Mr. Universe. So to not do that,
yeah.
People would first go, this isn't, like, 300 off the couch. I want 300... from the comic book.
I would argue, take his quote that you just said, and you could use that as the same quote if you gave it 4.5.
I agree. Absolutely.
It's like, this isn't an adaptation of a comic book. It's a comic book brought to life, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a comic book brought to life.
100%.
Yeah, he's remaining very neutral.
Right? I give
that.
It 4.5.
Yeah.
It was
a good catch.
Yeah. I totally agree. Also, like... okay. Yeah. So they're drawn all cut. And so but I don't understand, like you said, what's his problem with that? Like the whole plot of this movie is that they're superhuman soldiers, basically. Like these 300 like super intense military dudes,
well,
like beat off.
And there's
Beat off, fend off.
I must have missed that part.
It's a different movie.
They get in a circle and they.
It's a different movie.
They put a shield down.
I was confused.
And who eats the cookie?
What did you watch this week, Emily?
Who eats the dry old bread?
That was a different 300. Let me tell you,
it was like, 300 on one.
But they're supposed to be insane, right? They're supposed to be almost superhuman. Yes. Almost superhuman.
They're the 300.
Yeah. Not to argue,
they're a fucking fable.
It wasn't much of a movie. Like, there wasn't too much story. It was, to me, it was sort of like a comic book brought to life, but it was like an opera movie.
Yeah.
Because it was just big, dramatic,
yes.
big sound, yep. big visuals, no story.
No. Very lots right? of scenes, no story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it was just supposed to be like a visual, in the sense that an opera isn't a fucking play.
Right.
Right?
It felt like testosterone in three parts, which is fine. Which was like, there's like.
Act one.
Michael Bay has made an entire career out of that.
Yeah,
and
sure,
so
yeah.
like, I don't know. Why not?
But I think it was more artistic.
Yeah.
Than a lot of
It was
of
pretty
other,
to watch. Yeah. Not just because of the guys that are
exactly.
all jacked up. Like
well,
it was.
Here.
It was
here's another line.
Maybe if people hadn't seen Sin City because it looked so similar.
Yeah. The film noir kind of
yes,
vibe.
They may have not. Speaking of that, there's a Spider-Man noir series going to be.
Just released.
Yeah.
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. Maybe another Spider-Man to add to your list.
Of ones that I either enjoy comically or sexually.
Yes.
One of your both. One of your 300. so
the Spider-Verse, there's going to be 300 Spider-Man.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Sin City has vividly conceived characters and stylized dialogue. To your point, Mark, 300 has one-dimensional caricatures who talk like professional wrestlers plugging their next feud.
But that's what they're doing. They want to fight the guys. I don't know. I feel like he's trying to overcomplicate a movie that is literally just like rah, rah, strong man.
Like, I always felt that 300 was like somebody was it, like had a book and was telling you the story of the 300 Spartans that battled. And,
yeah.
And this was the like the visuals that went along with
yeah.
the him reading the story.
Yeah, no, it's very storyboard.
The Jack Nicholson coming and leaning over the top.
It's my new hat.
Yeah, no. If you're fine with it, I'm fine with it.
Why so serious?
He doesn't like my review. He's like, excuse me. Say that to my face.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight, Emily? Yeah.
Listen, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well played, sir. Well played.
Speaking of The Shining.
He talks so much about the muscles, but return to those muscles. Although real actors play the characters and their faces are convincing, I believe their bodies are almost entirely digital creations. I know for a fact that their workout consisted of a couple ex-Navy SEALs doing the style of workout where they would do a ton of like easy cardio and drain all the blood into the lower extremities. And then they would go and hit the weights hard and like basically go into a deficit of blood in
their
upper arms.
You can still get, like you can still look up the 300 workout.
Yeah,
like whatever.
Yeah.
So
it's a real workout.
Like, I feel like he's over, yeah, like you said, over-focused on the body thing and like maybe just a little bit jealous.
I feel like we're getting a glimpse into Ebert's body dysmorphia.
Yeah, or maybe he was just like exploring different like variations of his sexuality. He was just like a little uncomfortable with it.
Maybe he wasn't comfortable
you
with
know?
It. He didn't
like,
feel as though he could really
right,
express.
Right, so he was like, oh no, big muscles, yeah.
Maybe he's dwelling on it because he really liked it, but yeah. he didn't feel as though society was ready for him.
Repressed.
Like when you go, and you like pull someone's pigtails on the playground because you like them. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm gonna. He's negging them. He's nagging
them.
I
think we're uncovering something here.
I think so too. He's
nagging.
Like,
I like that you know
he's
that.
He's nagging. It doesn't work on me.
Ebert was closeted.
Ebert was closeted. Maybe,
but like
yeah,
not very well.
Yeah,
though.
No. This whole article was coming out.
I hate the way that their glistening hard bodies are on screen yeah. so often, and their chiseled abs are just.
It's just.
It makes me want to touch them.
It's so unrealistic.
It's
that
okay,
it's just always
Roger.
There.
We don't care. Like it's
yes.
fine, dude.
Get it.
The movie presents other scenes of impossibility. Look at the long shots of the masked Persians. There are so many. They would have presented a logistical nightmare. How to feed and water them. Consider the slave-born chariot of Xerxes pulls up. It's larger than the imperial throne of the Forbidden City with a wide staircase leading up to Xerxes. Impressive, but how could such a monstrosity be lugged all the way from Persia to Greece? I'm not expected to apply such logic, I know, but the movie flaunts its preposterous effects.
It's
a comic book.
I wish that he was alive to have reviewed Moonfall. I feel like
he would have shot it to the moon.
I feel like that he didn't have any idea how completely unrealistic and insane movies were going to get.
Oh, he would have a fucking
for
heyday.
People that know comic books, and I don't know if any of you listen to these shows, but what he's explaining here is that the movie was like directed by like Rob Liefeld, who in the sense of comic book things, he's known for like giving a guy a chest that's like 72 inches large, like ridiculous and preposterous proportions of characters. That's what this movie was. It was a disproportionate representation of a comic book.
So he wanted to.
And I think you could do his entire review and give it a 4.5
Yeah.
With the same words that he used to give it a 2
So he wanted to.
Whether you like that or not.
It's ambivalent.
He wanted you to take the. He wanted us to take this comic book and make it into a realistic movie, as opposed to take this comic book and make it into a comic book movie.
Yeah.
And who wants that? I don't want a realistic movie of 300 guys versus like 20,000 guys at war. They're all going to die and then it's over.
I've seen that. It's on the History Network.
Yeah.
It's five hours long.
Then they all died. The end. Yes. Like, that's not, you know. I mean, that is what happened in this movie. Spoilers.
It's known because
they don't make it.
Yeah. But it was certainly, you know, a fun ride getting there.
I remember when this movie came out. I saw it way before I should have. And I was so into it.
Yeah.
Like, I loved how it stopped for a couple. Like, Waking Life was the first movie I saw that was like artistic and full of themes and, you know, real deep and shit. But it stops, it's art, then it's animation, then it briefly turns to like a real clip, and then it all comes back and does this. That's what this did. It was animation, comic book still, real life sequence, constantly churning. It was mentally satisfying. It was visually stimulating. I know what's going to happen. Like, I know these guys aren't going to be able to fend off this army. I'm not a fucking moron. But like you said, Emily, getting there, watching them fight and having these splashes.
And you get, this is Sparta!
And I think maybe you got it. It's almost like live action animation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? They turned the live action acting into animation by the visual effects.
Yeah,
totally.
Going after this for not being realistic feels to me like going after
Titanic.
An animated show for not being realistic. Like
Rick and Morty.
People don't fly.
Yeah.
And it's like, get out of here.
That's
like,
triggered.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it really.
Jessica Rabbit just wasn't believable.
Yeah. I mean,
Great fucking point.
Heard that.
Yeah. I don't unless you're tying that shit tight with a corset from the Ming Dynasty, there's no way that's
And can you compare 300 to anything? Like, is there anything else that's been filmed like that?
No.
The sequel.
Really?
That's it.
Honestly, I thought it was, and I'm not a big war movie person, and I loved it. I thought it was super fun.
It's a fable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
It's
altered for historic purposes. It's told over the eons. It's about strength
and that's
honor
the other thing. Maybe that's
teamwork.
You know how we exaggerate when we'll tell stories about,
my
like you said,
fish
fables.
Was this big.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what
300
these Spartans were muscular. You know, it's almost like our exaggerations come to life.
Yeah.
Exactly. How it's not told these puny like the hunchback guy. Shows the shit of society at the time and how they viewed, you know, masculinity, obviously, if you want to get deep about it. But like, that's who we are. That's who we are on that screen, right? We want to see who we aren't. And this is who we aren't. This is humanity at its best trying to conquer something, and it's ripped and it's oiled and it's fun and it wants to stack bodies 9 feet high.
Totally.
And I'm sorry.
Like, I don't want to see the realistic version. I don't want to see a bunch of people like me go out and try to play football. You know, we're all just going to fall down and no one's going to catch anything.
I don't want to see the line of Spartans and Chris Farley at the end of the line of Spartans.
Exactly. So like, and it's the same with 300.
I
want the giant, in football, I want the professional football players that are 6'5" and like whatever, superhuman, and
like the whole nine yards, where guys are like 8 feet tall,
right.
And yeah,
yes
exactly.
And I also didn't want to see like variety. You don't want to like pan to the Spartans and there's like some are tall, some are short, some are big, some are small.
I want them shoulder to broad shoulder with their glistening chests, ready to protect their homeland.
They are the best of they're the king's personal guard. He says that when the politicians come, they're like, "Why are you walking so?" This is just my guard. I'm just taking a walk. And then when Gerard slaps his thigh.
Gerald's brother?
Gerald. Yeah, whatever.
Just checking.
It's Gerard. It's Gerard.
Yeah. I learned Rafe is not
Mr.
Ralph,
Butler.
but when he slaps his leg and he's like, I'd love to I'd love to bend the knee, but it's just so cramped. Like, these are lines that are so fucking epic and powerful that, like, nobody talks like this in a fight. They don't, they don't smack their knee as a taunt. Like, it's a power move, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just don't think he could suspend disbelief enough to understand what...
He seems like a crotchety old man in this review.
Well, I mean, he would have been like...
I know, but I'm just like, get over it, man. Like, not everything is realistic. Sometimes it's just fun.
Imagine if he was around to review Game of Thrones.
Oi.
Fucking dragons?
Fucking incest?
This isn't real, guys.
He'd love...
Zero stars.
He'd love Ramsay Bolton, though. He'd probably be into that S&M shit. Anyways, all right. So, I mean, like, I get out of five, I would give this like a 3.5. I wouldn't be as hard as a 2.
Yeah, no, it would be an easy
3.5, 4.
For me, this is an easy 4. But
I got to say, yeah, you're right, probably right.
Yeah.
It's not winning awards for anything outside
of... I don't need a 5. I'd call it like a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Right. I like it. It's not winning awards, but I have traditionally... much more enjoyed movies that will never win awards over movies that win awards. I don't like things that take themselves seriously. Movies, TV shows, people.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Roger, you took yourself way too
seriously. Roger took himself seriously. R.I.P. But, you know.
That's okay.
You fucked up this one, Roger.
Yeah, you got it wrong. I'm sure you're full of regrets.
See you next time, Raj. And listener, we'll see you next time because that is it. That's the show.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Put it in the can.
That was real.
Emily, you had dodgeball stuff happen and shit's happening again if people want to watch
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So for those of the listeners who don't know this about me, I play competitive dodgeball. Yes is a thing. Yes, you can laugh at me for it. It's no problem.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
But recently my team qualified to go to Nationals. And
Which is in
Montreal in Canada.
Montreal listeners, if you understand our bullshit language.
Montreal, Quebec. So we actually have three major international tournaments coming up in the next 3 months. One for Western Canadian Dodgeball Championships, one in Seattle, and then Nationals. So follow us on Instagram if you want to at Rainbow Thunder DC and cheer us along the way. If you have Twitch, you can also watch Dodgeball streamed most weekends, and you can watch those tournaments streamed live with commentary.
Oh, sweet.
So Dodgeball TTV.
Do they do commentary like Jason Bateman in the movie?
It is more serious.
Really? Okay.
Yes. But some really good commentary and really easy to follow along for the dodgeball novice. And then, of course, you can jump right into the Twitch chat and stuff like that. So.
There you go. Montreal, if we got any fans out there and you like Emily and you want to go support, go watch her play dodgeball.
Calgary next weekend. So when this comes out, it'll be Calgary like on the weekend.
Nice.
Seattle in mid-March and Montreal in mid-April. So, hit us up on Instagram, Rainbow Thunder DC, and we'll tell you where to come find us. Unless you're creepy, then stay home.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Exactly. We'll be streaming on ESPN 8, The Ocho.
The Ocho.
How's String Bean? You got any fun books?
I've recently bought a whole bunch of comics, and there's two big comic sales. I don't want to call them conventions, but two big collectibles shows coming up when you're hearing this, February 26th.
Perfect.
There is a comic-only show out in St. Boniface-ish area. I can't remember where it's at, but if you're in the know, you know.
Well, they can message you on Instagram.
And right? Yes, and then on March 5th, is that the Sunday? 5th, 6th, 5th.
That's my birthday. Or
is
March
6th. At the Kubota Center.
Nice.
Wilkes.
Yep.
Is a comic, pop culture, toy collectibles show.
Interesting. Nice. May? You said?
March 5th.
March 5th.
Yep. And we just, between the last few collections, we've bought 16,000 comics in the last 3 months. That we're in the process of getting ready for
grading.
Well, some grading, some just selling. We're gonna have some good cheap long boxes full of $1 and $2 comics, as well.
Ooh,
as so
I can start a collection.
Big high end key comics that we've had graded and from all of our personal collections.
And he's got some shit list.
And in light of some of the new stuff that's come out, the DC Universe, DC Comics are hot again. A lot of cool characters are going to be brought back to the screen in James Gunn's new vision. So
Gods and Monsters.
Come get pick up some DC stuff and give Marvel a run for its money.
There you go, listener.
We're String Bean Comics on Instagram. And Facebook is probably the best place to get in touch with us. Or me. And
You know where the best place to get in touch with all
There's some really good
is?
Facebook groups for comic book collecting, both Manitoba, Canada.
Give them to me and I'll put a link to a page of links on our link in our bio.
Winnipeg Comic Collectors, Winnipeg Comic Addicts.
There you go.
Canada Comic Auctions.
Nice.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a whole world worth collecting where people run live auctions on Facebook and other social media sites that they that you can't really do anywhere else. There's not like a dedicated platform, so they've like bastardized Facebook. And in the comments below a post, they'll post each individual item that's for sale.
I buy clothes like that.
Then you comment on it to bid. And then
I buy like designer stuff that way sometimes.
It's pretty interesting that they've turned it into that.
Oh, I need to see that sometime.
You'd figure that they would have came with like a plug-in, like an actual auction
plug-in.
It's
like next, right until the final second. It's like whoever comments last.
And then you turn commenting off.
Yep. And then whoever's the last person. Yeah.
Do I smell an idea to build a platform for this? A global platform to sell comic books on?
There is one already, but
it's called eBay.
I'm buying Lululemon pants. Can we do both?
Oh, we'll get there.
live auction site. It's cool.
Yeah.
Point is, listener, there's other things about the people who do things on this show that are fun, and if you have interest in them, you can talk to them about it. Go to our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Yeah, I'll say that again. I'm getting
YouTube.
We have YouTube shorts now. But the point is, go to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Check the link in our bio. All of our stuff is there if you want to follow it. Just follow one of the three. The best is Instagram. That's where the most shit gets done. YouTube shorts is just us being stupid on the show and videotaping it. And Twitter and Facebook are pretty much just for news. At Real Debaters.
I thought you said nudes. I was like,
No.
That's not where I sell my nudes, man.
You don't have an OnlyFans yet. But hey, you know what? I'll do anything.
The monetization is not good on those platforms.
No. But what if there's 300 in me?
300 in you?
No.
I could sell that.
That's the end game.
You are the cookie.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, listener, thank you for giving us your ears. I've been Cookie.
I don't know how to follow that. Emily Clark.
Mark.
And watch all the movies, kids. See you next week. Bye. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Spanish ladies.